Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on the Fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
All right, 10:03 on the Fan, and a very good Friday morning to you. The midday show, Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts. Of course, good Friday and the first day of Passover. 877-337-6666 is the phone number here. The 1 o'clock CMB comes your way. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta. On the other side. That's right. Dolph's not here. That's right. Who is this here? Who we have here? Because I can't see. Oh, Connor is with us. Okay. There you go. Sorry, guys. That's right. Dolph is off for the foreseeable future. How crazy can I be? And, of course, we are live from the, as Ernie takes up the Dolph slack and reminds me that we are live from the.
Because if I don't, he may call in.
No, I'm sure he will. We are live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear Deli Meats and Cheeses only at ShopRite. I feel bad today for my partner. You know, last night, big night, first playoff game in 4 years at Barclays, big game for the Nets, tied 1-1, and no Joel Embiid. And I know, I heard what you said to me at the beginning of the show. I kind of was thinking that too. You knew the Nets were in big trouble when Embiid was not playing.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you why it doesn't surprise me on 35 different levels. Number one, Boban. Boban has killed them in this series.
Oh, my God. He really has.
He's crushed them.
Yes.
Now, luckily, the officials started calling the illegal screens he was setting.
Yep.
So he fouled out of the game,
right?
Which was nice. But Boban kills them. That's number one. Number two, the Sixers have an incredibly talented team. Tobias Harris was the best player on the LA Clippers before they traded him. Jimmy Butler was maybe not the best player on Minnesota. Maybe it's Karl Anthony Towns. But late in games, ball was in the hands of Jimmy Butler. So essentially, their best player. They have a lot of really good players. And so without Joel Embiid, you knew someone was going to step up. And the someone was not only Tobias Harris, but J.J. Redick. Yep. And I thought Kenny Atkinson had an awful game. An awful, awful, awful game. And you could tell me, well, but the Nets didn't hit their threes. Live or die by the three.
They did not.
They did not. They also didn't rebound well. They also didn't defend well. They were also coached incredibly badly. And I'll tell you why. Joe Harris stunk. I like Joe Harris. Yep. He's had a great year.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
Joe Harris was awful last night. And I'm not talking about 0 for 3 from 3. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about his inability to get around a screen and defend J.J. Redick. So if you're the head coach of this team, make an adjustment. If you're the head coach of this team, how can you explain to your fan base or basketball fans in general how Caris LeVert only played 27 minutes? Explain it.
Yeah, he was unbelievable, Caris, especially in the second quarter. I mean, he was unstoppable.
And yet, in the second half of this game, what this coach could have done was say, I got to make an adjustment. Caris LeVert's my best player, not just offensively, but even defensively. And God knows no one played defense last night. Let me start the second half with LeVert on the floor, as opposed to Joe Harris, who is a liability. And Joe Harris, the liability, played the second most minutes last night. How? Why? There were no adjustments by this head coach. Caris LeVert was the best player on the floor for the Brooklyn Nets, and it wasn't even close. He only played 27 minutes. That is not acceptable. He didn't get in the game, Joe, in the third quarter until the five-minute mark.
Yep.
That
when the game was almost pretty much decided, to be very honest with you.
It's not acceptable.
Yeah, I understand.
The coaching was awful in this game. And here's the other thing. If you're going to open your mouth and you're going to say things, you've got to back it up. Jared Dudley did nothing last night.
He had an offer.
And I'll say this about Jared. I watch every second of every net game. There are games in which the box score doesn't tell the story about Jared Dudley. There are.
Right, right.
Not last night.
Right.
You stunk last night.
Yep.
The box score said you stunk. The eye test said you stunk. All he did was argue with officials. And all Ben Simmons did was
kill
school him.
Ben Simmons killed him last night, man. He got in the paint all night long. I mean, you know, I mean, every time I turned around, he's getting into the paint and making an easy layup. What was he, 11 for 13 on a game?
And he deserves credit.
Yeah, he killed him. He killed him last night.
I'm going to give Ben Simmons credit not only for that, but getting to the line and making his free throws.
He made them last night.
And then, of course, the head coach, down 13 with 4 minutes to go, says, you know what we should do? We should play Hack a Ben. Ben Simmons was hitting his free throws last night.
Yep.
Maybe not the best night to start sending Ben Simmons to the line. But they couldn't stop J.J. Redick coming off screens. Tobias Harris explained, for anyone who didn't know, why he's so good and why he's freaking perfect for the Nets after they strike out on the laughable notion they could sign Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard. Go get Tobias Harris, but I'll think about that in a couple of days after they lose in five. But it was a very disheartening night. They had an opportunity. They still have an opportunity. And at least last night in Brooklyn, they blew the opportunity.
Yeah. I said this to you off the air. You know, this basketball, even in today's NBA, where a 30-point lead really is meaningless in the game, as we've seen so many times. We saw it with the Clipper-Warrior game the other night. The Warriors bounced back and took care of them last night. But, I mean, even with that, you just didn't get the feel. You know, after they had that 9-4 lead, I think it was Jared Allen had a big dunk. They're up 9-4. Yeah.
Showing his muscles.
Right, it was. Very early in the game. You know, and then after that, it really, the Sixers took over. They had a 10-point lead. I know the Nets got back a couple times. They got closer in the game. But you never got the feeling. When LeVert went crazy in the second quarter, you never got the feeling the Nets were winning this basketball game.
Never.
You just never did.
There are games like that where
no doubt
you always feel like you're battling uphill.
Yep.
And that was the case last night. Because every time the Nets would start to get hot, and every time the Nets would make a run, especially in that second quarter when Caris LeVert was doing whatever he wanted, and even D'Angelo Russell in the fourth quarter when he checked in and scored, I think it was 11 straight points.
Right.
They would always respond. And they would either respond with Tobias Harris hitting a three, which he did all night long. He didn't miss one, which was incredible. They either responded with that, maybe J.J. Redick hit a three, maybe Ben Simmons would take it into the lane. And if they missed a shot, there would be a big offensive rebound. James Ennis III. See, that's a guy who you could look at the box score and say, whatever. James Ennis III made big plays in this game. Big plays. There was one over the back they could have called. They didn't call it. I'm okay with it. On a big offensive rebound that gave Philadelphia second chances. And so every time they would make a run, the Sixers would make a play. And what makes them so dangerous, even without Joel Embiid, whether he plays in game four or doesn't play in game four, is that they are still an insanely talented team.
They're a loaded team.
They've got guys who can step up.
Yep.
Tobias Harris, and I think a part of it is because he's bounced around so much, Orlando and Detroit and the Clippers, he's been traded here, he's been traded there, is one of the more underrated players in this league. Is he a max player? Look, you are what someone is willing to pay you, I guess is the way to describe it. But he's a very good player. That's what he is. And at times last night, he was the best player on the floor.
Yeah. No, he had a terrific game. Harris had a terrific game. And Simmons had a terrific game. And Redick had a terrific game.
And that was the difference.
Yep.
And then you factor in the Nets' inability to hit a three, their inability to hit the glass, and their defense was just awful. They gave Philadelphia way too many easy looks.
They really did.
But what gives me hope, and I understand, I was saying this to some fellow Net fans, I said, look, the one thing you've got to do is you got to tune out the national media, and even some around here, no offense, because they don't watch the Nets. Right? They don't know the Nets. You know, you helicopter in, and you think you have an idea. You know this because you sit next to me, and you've watched a lot of Net games. One thing about this basketball team is they have shown a lot of fight all season long.
Oh, there's no question.
Whether it's individual games or it's streaks during the season, this is a fighting team. So, yes, last night was a damaging loss. Yes, they're probably going to lose this series. But the one thing I hold out hope for is that if they can follow the trends of the regular season, they will respond. Because they've responded all season long, whether it was 8-18 during the 8-game losing streak and beating the Raptors on a Friday night, whether it was the comeback against the Rockets, the comeback against the Kings, those blowout losses to Charlotte and Miami, and they responded to that. They responded to the back-to-back home losses to Milwaukee and Toronto, and they got help, but they beat Milwaukee on the road, and they beat Indiana on the road. They've done it all year. So I get it. They were up 1-0. They lost game two. They lost game three without Embiid. I understand all that. But if you've watched this team all year, the one thing I hold out hope on is that they will bounce back like they have all season long and at least, Joe, I'm not saying win this
series. No, I understand.
But fight a little bit longer.
Well, look, I mean, if they win, obviously game four is a game you got to win. If you don't win game four, you're going down in five. I don't think you're winning that game five in Philadelphia. If you win game four, you know, at least you got a game six to come back to Brooklyn. And who knows, maybe you can get it to a game seven and you never know what happens in that situation. And who knows about Embiid, too. I mean, I understand he didn't play last night, but who knows? I mean, is he going to play tomorrow? I would, if he's really got a knee issue, if I'm Philly and I'm up 2-1, I probably don't play Embiid tomorrow.
Well, the way Embiid has described it, and I believe him, I don't think he has any reason to BS anybody about this, is that day-to-day it's very different.
Right, day-to-day, obviously.
Some days he'll wake up and there'll be a lot more pain than normal.
I was very surprised at game time that he wasn't playing. I got to tell you.
No, and that's exactly why I can't assume anything about Saturday.
Right, because he
plays game one, he plays game two, he's got 2 days off. Why would we think he wouldn't play game
four? Of course. It must have stiffened up on him or whatever.
And that's what he said. So what's going to happen in game four? I have no idea. I don't know if he's going to play. I don't know if he knows if he's going to play. But the bottom line is the Nets have to play better. They have to play better. They are facing a team that's more talented than them. I get that, and I'm sure when this series is over, I'll be able to accept that, look back at this season, and talk about how everything was great. All the fairy dust, smiles, rose petals. Right now, in the middle of a battle, you don't think that way. In the middle of a battle, you're trying to win. You want to win the series. Now, as far as the crowd was concerned last night.
Yes. Give me the feel of the crowd.
I preface this by saying.
It's hard telling, watching on TV.
No, I totally get it. Totally get it. You got to understand where the Nets have come from. So when the Nets were playing the Toronto Raptors 6 years ago now, 2014, so that's 5 years ago, in the first round of the playoffs, the game would start and the place would be half empty. And then the place would fill up and the crowd would be okay, and that was that. They played Miami, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, 40% of the people there were Heat fans. So understand this, Knicks fans. I say it with peace and love. The Nets are not the Knicks, okay? You can't compare the net crowd to the Knicks crowd, all right? The Knicks have more fans, they're more passionate. But in comparison to what I saw 4 years ago against Atlanta, 5 years ago against Toronto and Cleveland, Toronto and Miami, it's a world apart. I mean, the place was absolutely filled before game time. There was a Brooklyn chant even before the national anthem. It wasn't preordained. The PA system telling you to do it.
They weren't pumping in noise.
They were not doing that.
They weren't pumping in bird noise like the Masters.
Right? So, as a Net fan, it was a different world. And that was great. That was fantastic. I mean, you dream about something like that. This is a franchise that had trouble selling out finals games. This is a franchise who I just mentioned. They're playing the Raptors, and I could show you the pictures. It was half empty upon tip-off. That was not the case last night. Every seat was filled. Place was completely sold out, as we knew, and the crowd was really into it. So, yes, the crowd was nice. There was a great energy. I hope it's the same way Saturday. But at the end of the day, all that stuff is nice. It's about winning, and it's about this team responding, and it's about this coach making, you know, an adjustment. And I got an idea. Can I offer an adjustment idea?
Good.
Start Caris LeVert.
Oh, how come he doesn't?
I don't understand that.
Well, he should be playing 40 minutes a night.
Well, I understand during the regular season because he was coming off that big injury.
Well, that's fine. Now you're in the playoffs. The guy was tremendous. I mean, that one sequence in the second quarter, I mean, he was going to the basket, hitting floaters in the lane. He's hitting three. How's a guy not playing 40 minutes in this game?
And Joe Harris has not been effective.
No.
And you say 40 minutes? Can I tell you something very interesting about the Nets?
Go ahead.
You know how many guys played 30 minutes last night?
How many?
Zero. Not a one.
Not even D'Angelo was on him? I didn't even realize that. Not even 30 minutes for D'Angelo?
29-44. Now, here's the issue, all right? And I think that Kenny's got to roll the dice. And he did in the fourth quarter for like 2 minutes. Notice, you won't see D'Angelo, Caris and Spencer on the floor at the same time. Won't see it. Because during the regular season, in the limited amount of time we did see it, that threesome was very ineffective. Didn't work.
Yeah, but those are your three best players.
Right. And so, Joe, you've got to find a way to make it work. And during the playoffs, when things aren't going well and you're down double digits, you've got to try something.
You got to play those three guys. I mean, this is a must-win game if you're going to be in this series now, Saturday, tomorrow. You got to play those three guys. I'm sorry, bro. Major minutes in the game.
I think it starts with Joe Harris coming off the bench. I'm sorry, Joe. He could not play last night.
He wasn't good.
He couldn't hit a shot. He couldn't defend.
Nope.
This was not the Joe Harris from the regular season. He was a liability last night. Honestly, he was the worst Net last. He was the most disappointing Brooklyn Net last night.
Mm-hmm.
And this coach has got to make an adjustment. No more learning. No more, hey, it's Milwaukee on a Tuesday night. No more. Is the playoffs. Go down swinging. I like that he went to Rondé and he went small with Rondé.
Rondé had a decent game, too.
He did. He got to the line a million times.
He did. Yep.
He actually made his free throws.
Yep.
They went small. He gave them energy. That was good. See, I can compliment Kenny. That was good. I like it. But nobody playing 30 minutes?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
The loyalty to Joe Harris when he was abysmal last night? You got to make adjustments. And hopefully, this coach, who I admit overall has done a fine job this year, just because I'm criticizing him about game three doesn't mean he stinks. It just means in game three he stunk. Make those adjustments because it isn't over yet. It's 2-1. You've got game four in your building. Even this thing up and put all the pressure on Philadelphia Tuesday night.
No question. No question. I completely agree. Those guys got to play it. I'm with you, man. You got to get major minutes for Russell, Dinwiddie, and LeVert. They got to play major minutes. It's the playoffs now. You got to.
Absolutely. We'll get to the Yankees, who had a letdown against the Kansas City Royals last night. The Mets will have a letdown tonight because Jason Vargas is pitching. We've got Yankee tickets to give away. NFL.
Actually, if they won, it would be a let up. Because it's no letdown because we don't expect anything from Vargas. So if somebody won a game, it's like a let up.
That's true. We'd be fired up.
But it's not like we're expecting anything tonight. You know what I mean?
That's a very fair point. We'll get to some football stuff as well. Toll-free number is 877-337-6666. But Ingo and Roberts on a Friday.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.